It's time for JT the Brick.
See, the key to good sports radio, not great, but good sports radio, is you don't have to force it. I don't want to come in here and force Raider content on days where there's no Raider content. What are we going to do? We're going to talk sports. All different types of sports, because we do a sports talk show. I mean, I'm dealing with insanity here.
This guy's legit, but wow.
Calm down. We're going to start talking sports.
Did you hear what I said? I'm good.
JT the Brick.
We're providing content here every day with opinions. And I'm pretty strong with my opinions. I think you'd agree, and I stand by them. Mixing in the NBA, mixing in basketball and the Golden Knights.
This has been the longest running show in the history of the Raiders. Nothing's close. You better be vocal today, everybody. I'm demanding greatness on the phones. Get your ass in gear today. I got my A game.
There's never an off season in the Raider Nation. Got it? That's the show.
And now,
Fandemonium.
Here's JT the Brick.
Good to be back, hour number two on the flagship of the Silver and Black. This is Raider Nation Radio on the Las Vegas Sports Network, where the website looks good. I was talking to Doug, who is one of our big guys here, does everything. Everything helps out. Q, programming, scheduling, hosting, does it all. And I saw him yesterday, and he told me, take a look at the site. I did, and it looks really good. So there's a lot up there, lvsportsnetwork.com. Just a quick recap. Before we get back to your calls, I want to tell you what went on over the weekend. I had a couple of cool things happen. Today's my son's 21st birthday. So my last 21-year-old, I have two sons, 23, now 21 today. So we're going to celebrate and have a really nice evening with my son, who deserves a celebration. He was one of those kids in, lost his senior year in high school with COVID and started college under the COVID, whatever that was, and now is going into his senior year at Arizona State, and I hope it's going to be great for him. Loves to golf, loves to do work. He's a good kid, and real proud of both my sons. But today, my youngest turns 21. So yesterday, I was asked to MC the Raiders Draft Mixer. It used to be called the Draft Luncheon. I guess a mixer, finger foods. The food's fantastic. The service is incredible. It was at the headquarters of the Raiders, the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center, and it was a pretty big deal. There were a lot of people here, and I go back to the generosity of Mark Davis and this organization to literally invite all of the rookies' parents and family to come to these events. I mean, it's insane. I mean, no one can possibly do this. I'm serious when I say that. No one can possibly do anything like this, because it's just incredible how many people showed up, and you know how much it cost to put on these events and how great it looked. So that was a lot of fun yesterday. When I got there, I got to see a couple of people, talk to a couple of people along the way. And the first people I went up to was Brock Bowers' mom and dad, because they were going to be a part of the program there. We were going to bring them up on stage, and we were really excited about that. So to bring them up on stage and talk to them, I wanted to kind of say hi to them for a few minutes and kind of just tell them, hey, we're going to have some fun, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and maybe I'll ask you this or that. We didn't really have to do much of that. That is Deanna Bowers and Warren Bowers, who are the parents of, obviously, Brock Bowers. And Deanna Bowers is a Hall of Famer at Utah State. She's an incredible athlete. She teaches, I think she said in her presentation, she teaches Napa softball. She teaches softball at Napa High School. So she teaches and vibrant with that. She traveled to all of Brock's games with his dad to go to Georgia to see all those unbelievable games. Really unique woman. Very cool perspective about growing up in Napa in that area with Brock and taking him to sports. And, you know, I asked his father, when did you know that he had a chance maybe to play on Saturday, let alone play on Sunday? And he mentioned one game against Petaluma. That was the school. Someone should look up the stat line. They said they just gave Brock the ball, and Brock, every time he touched it, just went big. Touchdowns, big runs, and all that. And that's when he thought that he had a chance to play, and then they just started traveling. And another question I asked was, what was that college family like, and what do you want to tell all the parents here about this rookie, you know, Raiders family? What'd you learn at Georgia? And she said she has a great family now at Georgia. The Georgia machine for Brock Bowers, who this Herschel Walker is the greatest Georgia player of all time, then Brock Bowers. I'm telling you, there's how many guys in the NFL went to Georgia? Matthew Stafford, all of that. At Georgia, Brock Bowers was bigger than Matthew Stafford was at a different time. So he's on the Mount Rushmore of all those players. And they were very humble and very nice. So really enjoyed that experience. And that's just one of the things I can share with you. We weren't talking X's and O's and all of that. Just talking about family and how Brock is going to fit in with his family with this organization. I hosted right before that the rookie panel. And the rookie panel was really interesting who they picked. They picked three of the 25 rookies to come up there. Jackson Powers Johnson was one of them. And I'm starting to look at the rundown of this, and I'm seeing, wow, Trey Taylor, who's the safety, the Jim Thorpe Award winner out of Air Force, the cadet. Man, what a story he has about his life. And then Ron Stone Jr., whose dad played offensive line for the Raiders. And Ron's undrafted, and he signed with the Raiders out of Washington State. And he was really excited about this, too. He looks the part. This Ron Stone Jr. looks like a football player. He's big. His dad played in the league. You look at him, and you're like, I hope he makes the team. I expect him to be there. And again, we're going to dive into position group battles in the summer in Costa Mesa, but just fantastic. So here's the hook to the story. Jackson Powers Johnson, he's up on stage and he just stole the show. He just does. I'm not the show. It's never about me. I'm just asking questions. I try to get out of the way. And basically I said, man, I'm happy this guy's playing football because he'd have my gig. And he just started smiling and grabbed the microphone and even went longer. So at one point I asked him, I go, are we going to run the ball? You plan on running the ball? And he goes, we'll knock you down and laugh when we're done. He reads from the script of Autumn Wind. I couldn't believe it. That was his answer to me. And I'm like, we'll knock you around and have some fun and laugh when we conquer and won. That's his answer to me when I ask if we're going to run the football. He says, we're going to run it. And then he makes this like he's a quarterback and he's throwing it deep. And then he goes, we're going to throw it deep over the top for touchdowns after touchdowns. This guy's a character. So after we were done with that panel and the event ended, his parents came up to me and they introduced themselves and his mom and dad were amazing. His dad had an Oregon sweatshirt on and his mom couldn't be nicer. So the mom of Jackson Powers Johnson was saying, JT, nice to meet you. I'm like, pleasure to meet you. We exchanged, and I gave her a card, whatever you need. And she couldn't have been cooler and nicer about her son. And she understands that her son is energetic. And he's out there, and he's good, and he's a lot of fun. So he probably stole the show, and Deanna Bowers, Brock Bowers' mom, were my two big takeaways at the draft mixer. And then after that, they had a graduation kind of scene. It was fun for all the players to walk on stage. And look, there's some players there that aren't going to make the team, right? There were 25 players at the rookie draft mixer, and they're not all going to make the team. As you know, there's going to be players that make the team on the 53, there's going to be some practice squad players and others who don't make it. So I was thinking about the guys, and I don't know who they are. I have no clue who aren't going to make the team. But it was nice that the Raiders put together a nice event with their family. And their family could be there for all that and be out there and have a nice weekend here. So thanks to the generosity of the Raiders for that yesterday. That was a nice surprise. I didn't know how big of an event was going to be until I showed up. And then the football field, the indoor field, half of it was used on the back end for this event. They got, you know, two fields there, really a field and a half. Got a lot of room there, and they activated it last night for the rookies. And then going back to Friday night, I was able to MC the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. And that meant a lot to me in the building. Today, as I'm here with Bobby, as we recognize Tony Bonici and Jesse Leeds from Lotus Broadcasting, as they were two of the architects of building this sports radio empire here that has all the flagship rights of all the teams, Fox, ESPN, the Golden Knights, the Raiders, UNLV, the Aces, the Aviators. I hope I don't leave anybody out. The Latino stations and then the rock stations. You know, the point. When you look at the power of these rock stations in town here and what we've been able to do and what our company, when I say we were able to do, I'm just a bystander doing a sports talk show, but just incredible. So those gentlemen gave speeches. Their families were there. C.J. Watson, who went to Bishop Gorman. Kenny Bayless, the referee, who did Pacquiao Mayweather. He was in the ring for a lot of big fights, but especially his biggest one with the most viewership ever was Mayweather-Pacquiao. And then Brady Exper, the most successful amateur golfer in the history of Nevada, winning 100 amateur tournaments, including the British Amateur Open, What a gentleman he was. And we had a great time there. So that was part of the weekend that I want to point out, because the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame is one of the classiest groups that I'm associated with. And they did a beautiful job. And for the families and everybody who had a great dinner, great sit down. You look across the room and you just see people from the casino world. The Raiders were there. UNLV. Everybody who had tables there. You walk from table to table. And it's some of the biggest movers and shakers in all of sports here in the Valley. So thanks again to the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame for giving me the opportunity with Jamie to MC that event. We had a lot of fun, and if you went to it, there's a lot of cool people I saw there. Then finally, I had one of my best friends from college, fraternity brother. So same age as me. I met him when I was 17 years old in college. He came out with his wife, my buddy John, and his son, Ryan, who's 25 years old, legendary lacrosse player from Cornell, and we went to Dead and Company, and we went to see the Dead at the Sphere. And let me tell you about that experience. Whoa. I've never seen Dead and Company, but I saw the Grateful Dead with Jerry Garcia double-digit times, 10, 11, 12 times. So I have a background with seeing the Grateful Dead from Saratoga to New Jersey to Madison Square Garden to the big show here in Nevada back in the day, the Silver Bowl. You can go to all the Dead shows that I've seen. So I never saw Dead and Company, and we got there kind of early. We got there about 6:30 because my buddy and his son wanted to get there early because we had general admission tickets, which I love. I love general admission at the Sphere. Eagles tickets are on sale today if you want to go get Eagles tickets, which it's going to be tough to get. My wife was in the queue all morning here trying to get some. I don't know if she got it or not. I haven't talked to her in a few hours. But the Eagles are coming. So we went and saw Dead and Company. We walked in, got in real easy, and walked right on the floor, grabbed a cocktail at the bar. The bars look like the Great Gatsby. I mean, the bars on the lower GA area are the most immaculate bars you've ever seen in Vegas. There's not a line on any of them because there's like 10 people working every bar. So we got a couple of cocktails, and we walked onto the floor. And there were some people there, but it was pretty empty when we walked in. And my buddy's son's like, you know, do you mind if we go up close to watch the show? I said, hell no. You're talking to me, man. I love being in the front row. So we didn't go to the front row. We went about 10 people back and stood there for the show. Now, when you're at the Sphere, you have to look up. You have to look behind you if you want the total immersive deal. I don't care about that. I could see all the videos right in front of me. I want to see the band and the band's face, Bob Weir, John Mayer, and to see the band Mickey Hart. So we watched it, the four of us there on GA. They had a nice little gal coming through the crowd bringing drinks, so you didn't have to go wait online. They had a nice big long intermission. If anybody went, I think the intermission was 30 or 40 minutes, which was fantastic. And then, you know, when you're on the floor for a concert, if you leave to go to the restroom or intermission, you wonder if you're going to get your exact spot back. Not a problem. Everyone's like, go back to where you are. We were there and watched that show, and it was fantastic. So, the Dead and Company, I'm not here to debate how great they sounded. I thought they were really good. But they upgraded their views, and what they had for graphics and videos were better than U2. And U2 had a lot of great graphics, mostly mountainscapes and the desert and the cities and all that. And U2 was a fantastic show. But Dead and Company was on the next level when it came to just being wowed by what you saw. So I got the best of both worlds. I could see the videos and have to look up from time to time, but we were right in front of the band, so that was great. So it was Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame on Friday. Fortunate enough to go to Dead and Company on Saturday, and then the Raiders rookie draft mixer yesterday. So long weekend. Thanks to Vinny Bonsignor, who jumped in for me yesterday. Greatly appreciated that as I was out at the facility. And a good week of shows we got lined up. Today's kind of just a recap because Bobby and the Celtics have won their championship. I'm going to get back to that a little bit because Bobby's a Celtic fan. Congratulations to him on this championship. He bleeds Celtic green. So congratulations. I don't think Dallas is very good after watching this. They're going to need a couple of players if they're going to win a title. And they were the best team in the West. The best team in the West. A lot of baseball news. A lot of news happening going forward here. Baseball is going to drive a little bit of it now. And I'm counting on you here for the next couple of weeks. There's a lot of Dodger fans in town here. Dodger fans in Las Vegas. And the fact that baseball is starting to take over until we look out into the distance and get to Costa Mesa and Raiders training camp, you know, July 21st, 2nd, 3rd, and we start that. But July 8th, the debut of our new summertime radio, the 10 greatest Raider games of all time, as we're going to count down from 10 to 1. And we're going to ask for your votes and your involvement. And you can be a part of that on my YouTube stream, JT the Brick YT. As we come back, brought to you by La Casa Cigars, the best. You go to La Casa Cigars, Tivoli Village, over 500 cigar selections, live music, Woodson Bourbon Whiskey, Remy Martin, team up for excellence, Modelo there, and it's fantastic. Head on out to La Casa Cigars, proud partner of the show. As we continue, the Celtics win the championship, and Bryson DeChambeau wins the U.S. Open. This is the flagship of the Raiders, Raider Nation Radio.
This crowd on its feet, the best team in basketball all year, all the work, all the sacrifice, handling the enormous weight of massive expectations, ends tonight here. It's over. Time to say it again, Boston. Anything's possible. Banner number 18 has been secured. The Celtics are NBA champions.
That's Mike Breen on the ESPN call. JT, back with you. As we continue on Raider Nation Radio, it's my son's 21st birthday today, which I'm excited about as a dad. And Bobby, running the show, was a Celtic fan. The Celtics won the title. A lot of celebration going on here today. If you want to get through, 702-365-9200. A couple of pieces of content I wanted to get to here. But again, your reaction, if you want to comment on what I talk about, that would be beneficial to all of us. And what I talked about was the Raiders draft mixer. They brought in their rookies. Their rookies and their parents were together. They had a great weekend. And the organization feels like everything's good. Okay, last year it wasn't because a lot of the players didn't believe in the head coach. They're going to play. They're going to play their ass off on Sunday for Josh McDaniels. That was never an issue ever in the life of Josh McDaniels or John Gruden or anybody else. I've never seen a team that didn't give 110% with the Raiders. Dead serious. We can break down the film, talk about it. They were ready to play last year, but enough players have told me on record, not in private, on record, that they were walking around on eggshells. There were mistakes being made, too much correction, too much time, literally in the meeting room going over practice tape and going over mistakes, which I'm all right with. That's what math teachers do. That's what English teachers do. They go over mistakes. You get a test, you fail it, you don't do well. What did you do wrong? Here's what you did wrong. And the Raiders spent a lot of time doing that at this time last year. Fact, not fiction, mandatory mini camp and into training camp. So the players were kind of, you know, worked up about that. They didn't want to be corrected all the time. So it's not that Antonio Pierce and Joe Philbin and Marvin Lewis and all these other coaches that are very good. Cadillac Williams comes in now. They're all doing correction. Rob Ryan up there, okay, you did this wrong. But they're letting the players be more themselves. They're hoping that, and they're hoping that their scheme is going to work better than the past ones, that were a little bit more intense, a little bit more in your face, a little bit more you didn't do this right, where this time it's going to be, well, look, you didn't do this right. Let's correct it. Go be yourself. Go play free. Go have fun and go do all that. That's a big change that I've seen. And coaches have the right to have different styles, right? There's a different style between Tom Landry, Vince Lombardi, you know, Don Shula, John Madden, back in the day, and most of it was really intense. So I come from that. I was cut from that cloth, the Bill Parcells, where you were a player and they would scream at you and yell at you and tell you during the game that you're not doing your job. And that's changing. And I think it's a good thing. But I don't know. I didn't play in the NFL in the 70s with the great Raider team or in the 80s. So we're seeing a change in regards to how the players are more relaxed. And I think they're going to benefit from that. Because last year it was tight, as my sons would say. Hey, Dad, you're all tight tonight, man. Loosen up. Well, you know, I got to pay this, got to do this, got to pay for your college. Yeah, I'm going to be a little tight every once in a while. But the team is clearly looser than it's been. So after I told you everything about the Raider draft mixer and some of the other events that I've been talking about lately with the Raiders, do you like this style? Because we're all guessing on what they're going to do. We don't know what Luke Getsy is going to do.
in the preseason? Is he going to ratchet up and put a lot of pressure on this offense to compete with the defense? Is it going to be classroom work? Is it going to be faster practices? They got these new unbelievable TVs at the Raider facility, so right after play, they could look at the TVs and grade quickly and make moves. I like all that. But I wanted to know what you think. Do you, from a distance, as a Raider fan, listening to the flagship station, do you think this is dialed in correctly? Because Ole has called me and hated the former coach. So as I'm sitting here today in June, Ole Hughes guys, as they said in Goodfellas, called me every bleeping day last year. You didn't like the coach. You criticized him around the clock. Well, here's your time to tell me, do you like this new system in place where the players are emboldened to have a little bit more, I wouldn't say of a good time, but just be more of themselves? 702-365-9200. I caught this as we were prepping the show earlier today. Chris Sims and Pro Football Talk. There was a conversation that they posted in a transcript of Austin Eckler, the former Chargers running back who ended up going to the Commanders and signed a big deal. Well, he said with Up and Adams on FanDuel that the new Chargers, led by Jim Harbaugh, wanted a guy, quote, that could hand off, they could hand off to 300 times a year. And Eckler basically said Monday, yesterday on FanDuel, quote, that's not my game. That's now how not how Austin Eckler is going to best fit on the field. So there was a misalignment there, which no harm, no foul. I'll go somewhere else where Austin can be the best version of myself out there. So Austin Eckler just gave us all here in Raider Nation, this is our first opponent, we play him twice on what he believes, and Austin lives in Las Vegas, so he lives out here, that the Chargers' new philosophy, which he leaked out via talking to Up and Adams, that he thinks the Chargers are looking for a pure workhorse that can carry the ball and run it. And that's all the indication I'm getting, too. I'm getting that indication that the Chargers want to take a little bit of the load off of Justin Herbert, who's been throwing all the time and getting hit a lot in the backfield. The Chargers don't likely have a 300-carry tailback. They signed former Ravens J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards to share the load. Dobbins, who was recovering from a torn Achilles, signed a one-year $1.6 million deal. Edwards has only a two-year $6.5 million contract. So, the Chargers got rid of Austin Eckler, who had some pretty good games against the Raiders. I think pretty good. Really good player. We don't have to face him, Mike Williams, anymore. Remember all the guys that are leaving the Chargers and we're supposed to be scared to death that the Chargers have the best roster in football? So Eckler signed a two-year deal for $8.43 million with the Commanders. And he's going to work alongside Brian Robinson Jr. So the Chargers got a guy coming off an Achilles tear and another guy who's only making $1.6 million. So the Chargers, if they want to have that workhorse, all I'm asking you, who's that guy? He's not ripped and as strong as Zamir White. Zeus is the type of guy that you can give it 300 times to. I don't think the Raiders will. There's only one football. Devontae, Brock Bowers, everybody needs the football. So I don't think the Raiders now are built to have a guy. They're going to want to run the ball heavy and run it, I think, really heavy at times. But the Chargers are looking to do that, and most people believe they can't with the players that they have. I think this is a big storyline because Austin Eckler leaked something out that I think a lot of people presumed were going to make a little bit of sense. They presume that the Chargers are going to want to run the ball, right? So we're assuming, well, follow me for a second, Jim Harbaugh, national championship at Michigan, how'd they do it? Running. Jim Harbaugh with the 49ers, Colin Kaepernick, very good team. What'd they do? They ran it well. They ran it well. Kaepernick ran the ball, and they ran it better than they threw it. They could throw it to get to the Super Bowl, but they were a better running team. And now they go out and they get Joe Alt with their first pick in the first round to run the football. So that's one team. Let's check off the AFC West, if you can follow me. Chargers, predominantly a run team with an elite quarterback. Not a good quarterback. I know you Raider fans hate Herbert. He's elite. So they're going to try to run the ball to pass,
I buy into that. Let's move to the Las Vegas Raiders. What do they want to do? I think the same thing. I think they want to run the football hard, control the clock, and be more productive on third down in the passing game. That will be led by Zamir White, maybe Dylan Laube, Alexander Mattison. You know, when you look at the new players they brought in on the offensive line, the Raiders, and they brought in Luke Getsy. Let's not forget that. So I think everybody should understand now that the Raiders, like the Chargers, who don't, and the Raiders don't have an elite quarterback, the Chargers do. That's another team in the AFC West. Now we go to Kansas City. Does Kansas City want to run it? Hell no. Kansas City will tell you they want to run it. They don't want to run it. They want to throw the ball to Kelce, and they want Mahomes to run if he has to, and they want to throw bombs. When the pocket breaks down, I'm going to move past Kansas City really quick. They want to throw the ball at an alarming rate downfield and be efficient. And that leads us to the Denver Broncos. What the hell's Denver going to do? They got Jerry Jeudy. He's gone. Can anybody name me two Bronco wide receivers for a T-shirt or a koozie? You can't. No one knows who the Broncos have. And Bo Nix is their quarterback, and he's never thrown a pass in the NFL. So I'm going to put Sean Payton and Bo Nix in the category that Denver's going to want to run it because they got a rookie quarterback. They got to run the ball. So all three teams in the AFC West competing against Kansas City are going to want to set up the run, and the Raiders are going to do it with 12 personnel with a young, fresh running back with tree trunks for legs who can move the pile. But the Jim Harbaugh thing is fascinating to me because Harbaugh took the job and looked around. I presumably would think looked around and said, you know something? Every time I watched the Charger game, you had Mike Williams and Keenan Allen and you lost. We're not doing that anymore. We are going to run it down the throat of the AFC West. So I think one of the things about training camp, which is going to be really important going forward, is can the Raiders improve on their run defense? Well, yeah, they got Christian Wilkins, but Christian Wilkins is a freak when it comes to passing and rushing the passer. He's good against the run, but he's an absolute beast overall on what he's able to do. The other NFL story I wanted to get into, Bobby, is Raider Nation loves chaos for the 49ers. 49ers have been a lot better than the Raiders recently, but maybe this will throw a curveball. Brandon Ayuk added more intrigue to his contract status as he went on TikTok on Monday and acted like a bleeping fool. A grown-ass man on TikTok. Not me, yet. Get my numbers up, put me on TikTok. In the video, Ayuk is talking and FaceTiming with Washington Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels, friend of the Raiders, and his former Arizona State teammate. Ayuk tells Daniels, they said they don't want me back. And Daniels responds, kid who's never played in a game in the NFL, that's it? I swear, Ayuk said, prompting Daniels to shout out, my boy! Ayuk wrote in the caption of the post, I'm laughing, but I'm crying. So now the Niners have a disgruntled wide receiver who wants to get paid. Another thing that the Raiders don't have. We're assuming Devontae wants to be paid at the top of his game. Why wouldn't he? But that's the problem now with the 49ers. Christian McCaffrey just got paid a big raise and a big moment, and Deebo Samuel has already been paid. So it's unclear whether Ayuk was implying the Niners don't want to pay him back for this past season or if they don't want him going forward because his unwillingness to get off a number. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reported this week and talks between the Niners and Ayuk have stalled a bit. He's entering the final year of his rookie contract. He's slated to count $14.2 million against the cap. The wide receiver is coming off, get this for numbers, 75 receptions, 1,342 yards and 7 touchdowns. He has not participated in the Niners offseason program. He skipped the team's mandatory minicamp, which is subject to fines, close to a $101,000 fine that you got to pay now. And everybody's freaking out because Justin Jefferson recently, a wide receiver, reset the market at $35 million per season. $35 million per season. And this guy, Ayuk, had not just as good of a year. Justin Jefferson's at the top, but a pretty good year. A.J. Brown, $32 million.
Your Detroit Lions now, St. Brown, $30 million. And Jaylen Waddle, $28.25 million. So Ayuk is extremely underpaid, outperformed his contract, and wants more money. And the Niners will come up with that money. There's no doubt in my mind the Niners are a Super Bowl caliber team with their window still open. And they cannot win the Super Bowl without Brandon Ayuk. Let me say that. Again, the Niners have Brock Purdy, who's pretty good because he has Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey. But no one's saying that he's an elite quarterback just yet, but he's going to get paid that way. So this is a storyline developing. I don't think it's going to come into play with Devontae right now because Devontae's been paid handsomely recently, but the market has shifted. And when any market shifts, a real estate market, you know, I'm looking at the stock market. It closes every day at 1 o'clock. I look at it at 6:30 in the morning. I look at it at 1:05. What changed? And being a former stockbroker and investing my whole life, I look at it and I go, oh, nothing. Market was down today. What was it? Market was up today 50 points. When you got a market that's at 39,000, when it goes up 50 points, nothing happened today. If you see a market down 600 points, then you go, ooh. What happened? Jobs report, this, that. What happened with the Silicon Valley stocks and all that? The market is changing drastically in the NFL. Players are making more and more money that they don't deserve to make. They're going to get the money, but they don't deserve all of it because the market's out of whack because of Netflix and Amazon and European expansion also into South America. It's changed the overall outcome of the revenue of the NFL that has to be split with the owners and the players. So players who don't deserve $28.5 million, like Jaylen Waddle, what the hell has Jaden Waddle done to deserve $28.5 million? Has he ever played in a game that's ever mattered? No. But he's getting it because his contract now needs to be renegotiated. And they go, man, this guy's going to be great. And we want to go to the Super Bowl with the Dolphins. We haven't won anything. Dan Marino going back, right? We haven't won anything. Let's give Jaylen Waddle close to $30 million a year as Brandon Ayuk, who's playing in the NFC Championship game and in the Super Bowl, is making $14 million. So I don't know what to tell you on this. The contracts are going to go up, up, and up. I want the players to make as much as they can. But it's my job to call out this on my broadcast, on my platforms, and say, they don't deserve it. Mahomes deserves it. Okay? Kelsey deserves it. What about the other guys? Do they all deserve to get a raise? Isn't that the issue? Bobby's raising his hand. We all want a raise. Everybody, do you deserve a raise? Yes, if you deserve a raise in life, you deserve a raise. But how do you get a raise in professional sports? Just show up. You just show up. The market's going up 40% a year. And you're sitting there and you don't make the playoffs. You don't win a playoff game. And you're going to go into the offseason and get a new contract and it's going to be for more money and you didn't do anything in the playoffs. That's the league we're in now. We're in that same thing with the NBA too. You play for the New Orleans Pelicans. You play for the Portland Trail Blazers. Your deal's up. You're going to make more money. Why? Because there's more money in the NBA. Thanks to China, expansion, merchandising, marketing, television contracts. So I've been going through some of these contracts here, and today I looked at some of the news on some of the players who are getting paid, and Ayuk jumps out as the biggest story in the NFL today. And the way I'm going to button it up and tell you this again is, you should only get a raise in life if you deserve it. How much did you make last year? You should always make more the next year. If you work for a company, that's bringing in ratings and revenue. That's the way I was taught. But that doesn't work much that way in radio. Radio's changed. We're good. Radio is drastically changing. It's going to podcasts. It's going to YouTube. How many views you get. How much social media engagement you have. It's very unique than when I started. But in football, I mean, you can show up and play football and get a raise and not even make the playoffs because the market went up. Market kind of went up with the running backs with the Christian McCaffrey deal. What are you thinking about if you're Josh Jacobs sitting in Green Bay today? Going, I'm on a one-year deal at around $12 million, a little bit more than that. Christian McCaffrey's making $19 million. Why? Is Christian McCaffrey that much better than Josh Jacobs? No, he's not. He's better.
He's clearly better, but not by much. Josh Jacobs can catch the ball, run the ball. He led the league in rushing the year before, but he played for the Raiders. They weren't playing in Super Bowls. And now he's going to Green Bay, which won a playoff game last year in Dallas, and he's trying to cash in so he can lock in more money. Make as much money as you can. But don't tell me that Jaden Waddle's worth $30 million on the Dolphins because of what? He had a good regular season? Give me a break. Cliff Branch had multiple great seasons. Fred Biletnikoff had a decade of good seasons. And now we're just paying players because they're here. Oh, and the cap went up. And Netflix and Amazon are in. So let's just give them more money, and they're going to get it. The agents now in sports, in the NFL, if you're an agent, marketing agent, or if you're an NFL agent handling contracts, the amount of money that is changing hands is huge. And Bobby, I don't know if you saw this. They're going to have in-season hard knocks with the AFC North. So that's a big storyline. So during the season last year, Hard Knocks had an in-season hard knocks with the Miami Dolphins. I watched it. It was really good. That's when I got to learn about Christian Wilkins. It was a lot of it was about him and Tyreek Hill's house burned down and Tua and all that. But here's the big thing. The AFC North is going to be featured in midseason. And look who we play this year. We play Cincinnati. Now, we play Baltimore and Cleveland early. So the Raiders won't be featured in this. Cincinnati game, yeah. We also play Pittsburgh. We play these teams early. And this is going to be midseason. So you're going to see the quarterbacks of Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Deshaun Watson, and Russell Wilson, who was traded from the Broncos to Pittsburgh, and they're going to be featured in the storylines. And Hard Knocks in season with the AFC North will debut December 3rd and run through rest of the regular season. So the Raiders have played multiple games before that with the AFC North. If all of our AFC North games are on the back end, it'd be like the Raiders would be featured as the opponent a lot. So I like the idea here. I think it's going to be good for Hard Knocks. I think Hard Knocks is really going to take advantage of that. All right, a lot more to get to. If you want to get in, 702-365-9200 is the number. And we are live here, and we're going to have a good week here of Raiders content. Got a couple of insiders already queued up and ready to go as we continue wrapping it up on the other side.
But it's no longer what could be or what might be. Now it just is. The 2024 Boston Celtics are one of the greatest teams in NBA history. They were told they had to win. There's only one thing you can do when expectations are that high. Meet them. And there's only one way to stop being haunted by the ghosts and the legends and the champions inside this building. Join them. Together they have, and together they stand alone. On top of the mountain for now, and once again, the Boston Celtics stand alone for all time. It is banner 18. The mission demanded is mission accomplished.
Celtics Radio, they're world champs, brought to you by Remy Martin, Team Up for Excellence, Stephen Brody, who's our contact, the guy who guides us through Remy Martin. Big partner of ours here, Remy Martin's 300th anniversary. We're always talking about teaming up for excellence for Steven and his family, his dad, who I know from radio back in the day. Congratulations to all the Celtic fans, including Bobby, who runs the show here on the 18th championship. Man, Beantown and the Southeast are grinding the Lakers today. We got 18, you got 17. They do. Got to give Boston a lot of credit, and they did it quite easily. They dominated. So I don't know where you want to put this Boston team all time, but if I'm in that locker room and it's Jason Tatum and you're looking around at Jaylen Brown, they got to feel pretty good that they're one of the best. Jaylen Brown ended up getting the MVP, was fantastic to see because he's a two-way player. Tatum has a championship now. All you need is one. So as I look at Remy Martin and our long-term partnership that we have, making a Remy Martin XO night, Remy Martin Team Up for Excellence, and for Stephen Brody and all those Celtic fans out there and our partners at Remy Martin, congratulations. Big Al in San Francisco, but he's visiting Vegas Now, I love this. Big Al, what's happening? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm at the corner of Harmon and Paradise. Just checked in. It's not that hot. Everybody's telling me it was hot.
Yeah,
was
cool day today. Cool day today as I walked the dog this morning. Very cool.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty stoked about that. I'm going to unpack, go to the pool, relax, do it. I unfortunately got some work to do, but that's part of the game when you travel, and I'm going to be at the Sphere on Thursday, and I'm very excited to be here.
Good. You're going to love the Dead & Company. I know you love them. The Sphere was fantastic. Just a really good energy and good vibe. John Mayer, Bobby, I caught a good Bobby Weir show. John Mayer had great energy. They sounded good, and when you start looking up at the screen, you're not going to believe what they're able to do there. So have a good time at that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm in the 300 level, and that's apparently like a good
place.
Yeah,
good spot, yeah.
So, you know, in terms of the NBA playoffs, and yeah, and you know how much I enjoy the NBA, and I've been involved with it for a long time. Congratulations to the Celtics. You're the best team all year, but I'm not giving you one of the best of all-time teams. An all-time great team does not go down 48 in a clinch game. They're a very good team, but I'm not so quick to anoint them. They put two or three in a row. I'll take back my words. But I had a problem. The NBA playoffs started off incredible. They were really exciting, and then by the time we got to towards the end of the second round, the whole thing kind of turned into a dud. Some of it might be because the Knickerbockers were out, but there weren't any really good games in the conference finals and the finals. I was disappointed.
Big Al, welcome to Vegas. Thank you. Yeah, I didn't love the NBA playoffs overall. Boston, I saw today, a lot of people tried to put this into perspective about this Boston team. I don't know. I think they're very good. Any championship team the year before Denver, Nikola Jokic and Denver were really good. Do you want to say elite and great? Well, what is elite and great? We are in this country has a fascination with Michael Jordan. We are so fascinated by Michael Jordan that we compare everybody to Jordan and Pippen. And a lot of those teams that Jordan Pippen were playing for, when they got to the NBA Finals, the NBA Finals were nowhere near as entertaining as the Eastern Conference Finals, where they played tougher teams in the East to get to the NBA Finals. I mean, I think they won two out of their rings against Greg Ostertag of Utah. Come on. And Dan Majerle, who was a good player but not a Hall of Famer, when you look at that. So we relate everything. Then LeBron's win with Kyrie over the Warriors was amazing. I covered the entire Spurs 5 championships. That was 10 years ago. Tweeted something out over the weekend. Me standing behind Duncan on the court in San Antonio. That was a great team. Wouldn't you say Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, Greg Pop? You know, those teams were great, not good. And this Boston team, they got the stats, they got the trophy, they get the new banner. They're the team that also won the 18th banner, so they're going to get a lot of extra praise for that. But was it good? I mean, are you loving the Stanley Cup Finals with Florida and Edmonton? I'm not. Did I think Dallas deserved to be in the NBA Finals? Kind of, but they're a very flawed team. I didn't mention it today, but that Bryson DeChambeau U.S. Open was brilliant. The fact that he had a 55-yard bunker shot up and down to win, a guy who's into science and math and, you know, tweaking his clubs and equipment, and he wins the second U.S. Open on Father's Day, that was fun to watch. I enjoyed that. I watched a lot of golf in the pool. It was 107 bleeping degrees all weekend and watched that out there and had a good Father's Day. Hope you had a good Father's Day for all the dads out there. Q's the dad. He's coming up next with a big show. Should be really good. Raider content all day long. We'll be back here tomorrow. A new podcast getting dropped tomorrow with Tom Looney, JT and Looney, wherever you download your podcast. YouTube, JT the Brick YT. And we're counting down the top 10 Raider games of all time starting July 8th. So stay tuned for that. Have a great rest of the day, everybody. Bobby, congratulations again on your Celtics. Enjoy the celebration.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.